Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
As if the coronavirus isn't annoying enough and challenging enough and having a massive impact, now we have stupid pine pollen season here in North Carolina as well. So there was like clouds of yellow out there today as I drove up here to the studio and here all by my lonesome today. And for no serious reason, Evan, my production assistant, my intern, had a couple things going on. He's a senior in high school. Does a great job, so he's not in here today, so I'm just flying solo, but that's not really a big problem given what I do, and praise the Lord for technology because I can be in here 5 days a week. I could do this from home if I needed to, and I taught four classes in the last couple of days. I've got 88 students every week that I'm teaching Constitution and Civics to. Those are three of the classes, and one of the classes is Christian Ethics, so praise the Lord for technology. I want to do some updates and some different stories that are out there that I think are interesting and worthy of our attention, and also some good news, several things going on and that are going to have some long-term challenging effects on the U.S. economy and our debt structure and stuff, but some really good news things. One thing that's totally cray-cray, which I've been telling my students all week, make sure you're paying attention to how quickly the federal government can affect and change life in America literally overnight, and learn some lessons from that and be concerned about that. Don't just kind of go, oh, that's good. That's a piece of cake. If you're a Star Wars fan, you'll remember from the prequel trilogy that you had the big bad emperor before he became, was known as the big bad emperor. They're like, oh, we have a terrible crisis here. It's a wartime scenario. And so we need to give him some emergency powers. And then he promises, well, I'll set him back down after it's all over. And whether it's the Galactic Empire or the federal government, they rarely set those types of things down. So we need to be vigilant, not only for our health and especially for the health of those that are older and more susceptible to the real downsides of the coronavirus. We need to be paying attention to what's going on with our government. And so I'm going to talk about that. We'll continue to talk about that. But some serious things going on out there. And I want to spend a little time in prayer before we get too deep into the show. I'll launch into that by sharing a really sad story, but a pretty sobering story that we all should be paying attention to. But here, this was this in the last 24 hours. California wakes up to strictest coronavirus measures in the USA. So Governor Gavin Newsom announced the stay-home order for the state's nearly 40 million residents on Thursday night. This has happened in Illinois. Now it's happening in New York. We need to bend the curve in the state of California. That's to keep the exponential growth more of a control or to lessen the severity of the spread of the coronavirus. There's a social contract here. People, I think, recognize the need to do more. The order has forced the closure of dine-in restaurants, bars and nightclubs, entertainment venues, gyms, public events and gatherings, and convention centers, according to the California state government website. Services and businesses that have been deemed, quote-unquote, essential, such as gas stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, banks, and laundromats, will be allowed to stay open, as well as law enforcement and offices that provide government programs. When asked about enforcement, which becomes very interesting, enforcement, how are you going to enforce that? You're going to stop every car that's out driving around? For instance, here in North Carolina, if they were to say, if Governor Cooper were to say, hey, we're going to do a lockdown too, only essential things. That's mostly, you know, because Newsom was asked that. He said, well, how will you enforce it? Thursday night, he told reporters, as I say, there's a social contract here. You almost never hear that phrase. So I appreciate that. That goes all the way back to our founding. People, I think, recognize the need to do more and to meet this moment. We will have social pressure that will encourage people to do the right thing. But, you know, they're not going to be throwing people in jail. And if they say that here in North Carolina, listen, I come up to the studio by pretty much the building is, for the most part, empty here on the campus of Southeastern Baptist. I come into the studio. It's either by myself. Most of the time, it's myself and Evan. And that's fine. I'm fine with it. He's fine with it. His parents are fine with it. And I'll come up here. And if a police officer happened to pull me over, here's what I will do. I will pull over. I will start recording with my phone. I will have a conversation with the officer. I will be respectful, and I will ask him what constitutional basis does he have and what can he actually do. and what are the orders from his superior officers. And I appreciate the warning. I understand the situation. I'm just going to my studio. Then I'm going back home. I won't be interacting with anybody between here and there. And I'll go on from there. But you have to pay attention to this stuff. Not just the physical aspects. Not just the financial aspects, but the constitutional aspects. New York, same thing. Andrew Cuomo orders stay-at-home order as lockdowns sweep the nation. On Friday, Democrat New York Governor Andrew Cuomo ordered all state residents to stay home while closing down all non-essential businesses. Under what authority? And you can look into that and say, okay, how does the state constitution say that the government can do this? And then, of course, enforcement. Right now, I think most people, that social contract idea, most people are fine with it. Most people. Not everybody. But just about everybody. Okay, fine. And people are pretty much calm. They're staying home. Social distancing is the norm. But as the government locks down tougher and tougher, at some point there's going to be a line in the sand where some people in this country are going to start going, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you have an enforcement issue. And I'm hopeful that we're not going to get there. I don't think we're going to get there. But we need to pay attention to that. Fascinating. But that's happening. Two of the most populous states in the country. We'll see if it happens here in North Carolina, where I live, and many of you do. This was a really sad story, and then when I come back from this one, on Christianity Today, I thought this was really good. 20 prayers to pray during this pandemic. And these were really good, and I'm actually going to go through these with you. Most of them are one-liners, but we'll do that on the other side of the break. But did you see this? This is really sad, and this just shows you the serious nature of this, and we can sit there and go, hoax or... It's China, and they're just trying to get rid of Trump, blah, 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 blah. But there are real people with real heartbreaking impacts that are going on here. Coronavirus ravages 7 members of a single family, killing 4. Did you hear about this story? Grace Fusco, mother of 11, grandmother of 27. She was 73. She died on Wednesday night after contracting the coronavirus, hours after her son died from the virus, and 5 days after her daughter's death. On Thursday, another child who had contracted the virus, Vincent Fusco, died. 3 other children remain hospitalized, 2 of them in critical condition. This is just heartbreaking. Mrs. Fusco's eldest child, Rita Fusco Jackson, was 55, Freehold, New Jersey, died Friday. After her death, the family learned she had contracted the virus. Her eldest son, Carmine Fusco, died on Wednesday. Nearly 20 other relatives are quarantined at their homes, awaiting test results, and praying in isolation, unable to join together to mourn their deep collective loss. That's heartbreaking. That's what I believe our government is trying to avoid on a wide scale. So when we come back, we're going to spend a little time together in prayer, and then we'll move on to a bunch of other stories that I really want to make sure we share, and some good news. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. And let's put our money where our mouth is when it comes to prayer. I just was sharing that story about the Fusco family. 4 of them have died in the last week, all from coronavirus. And a really tight Italian family in New Jersey spent a lot of time together, which is how it got passed around so easily. And just heartbreaking. And there's things going on like that all over the place. And it might not be even physical. It's going to be work things. It's going to be financial things. The social distancing is hard for a lot of people, for a lot of couples. Now all of a sudden you're home all the time and with each other all the time. And that's not necessarily easy for a lot of married couples because you're not used to being with each other that much. And so there's a lot of challenges going here. But one thing we need to do, like a friend of mine at the Harvest Crusades said to me years ago, he's like, listen, prayer isn't the only thing we should do, but we should do nothing without it. And that stuck with me. I probably heard that 10 years ago. Prayer isn't the only thing we should do. Now, sometimes that's the only thing you can do, right? So I'm not saying that. Prayer isn't the only thing you should do, but you should do nothing without it. And I really like that. And so when I was rummaging around doing some show prep the last few hours, I found this on Christianity Today, 20 prayers to pray during this pandemic. They're very short. And I thought I would just lead us through it. Let's take this time to be together. Technology allows for this with my friends on Facebook Live, wherever you're listening on the radio, especially here throughout the great state of North Carolina. We're on about 20 stations in North Carolina now, so we praise the Lord for that because our goal and our prayer is to cover the entire state, which would be totally awesome. Most radio shows are either local or national. There isn't a single Christian conservative radio show out there. that is focused on its own state, our Jerusalem, so as it were. So that's what we're really focusing on this year here for the radio ministry. But I'm going to take us through this, okay? And just pray along with me. These are really short. They're kind of one-liners, a little bit longer. If it takes us this whole segment, so be it. We're crying out to the creator of the universe and our Father and our Lord and our Savior. So I think that's worth it. So however you can, just pray along with me. I think this is important for all of us to do. So we pray for the sick and infected. Lord, heal and help. Sustain bodies and spirits. Contain the spread of the infection. For our vulnerable populations, God, protect our elderly and those suffering from chronic disease. Provide for the poor, especially the uninsured. Lord, for the young and the strong, give them the necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading this disease. Inspire them to help. And Father, for our local, state, and federal governments, help our elected officials as they allocate the necessary resources for combating this pandemic. Help them to provide more tests for our scientific community, Father, leading the charge to understand the disease and communicate its gravity. And give them knowledge, Lord, and wisdom, and a persuasive voice for the media. Lord, that they would be committed to providing up-to-date information. Help them to communicate with the appropriate seriousness and without causing panic. Help them to be honest, Father, and straightforward and not biased and not given over to political persuasion. For consumers of media like us, Father, looking to be well-informed, help us to find the most helpful local information to equip us to be good neighbors. Help us from anxiety and panic and enable us to implement the recommended strategies, even at a cost to ourselves. Father, for those with mental health challenges who feel isolated or anxious and helpless, provide them every necessary support. Lord, for the homeless, unable to practice the protocols of social distancing in their shelter system, protect them from disease and provide isolation shelters in every city. Father, for international travelers stuck in foreign countries, help them return home safely and quickly. For Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially in areas with high rates of infection, Lord, provide them with words of hope and equip them to love and serve those around them and to share the gospel. For workers in a variety of industries facing layoffs and financial hardships, Father, keep them from panic and inspire your church to generously support them. For families with young children at home for the foreseeable future, God, help mothers and fathers to partner together creatively for the care and flourishing of their children. For single mothers and fathers, grow their networks of support. And I'm just reading through these prayer points that I pulled off Christianity Today. Father, for parents who cannot stay home from work but must find care for their children, God, present them with creative solutions. For those in need of regular therapies and treatments, for business leaders making difficult decisions that affect the lives of their employees, Father, give these men and women wisdom and help them to lead self-sacrificially. For pastors and church leaders, Lord, help them creatively imagine how to pastor their congregations and love their cities well. For college and university students whose courses are changing and graduations that are being canceled, Lord, show them that while life is uncertain, they can trust in you. And we just pray for great fruit there amongst young people, Father. For Christians in every neighborhood, community, and city, may your Holy Spirit inspire us to pray, to give, to love, to serve, and to proclaim the gospel, that the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified around the world. For frontline healthcare workers, Lord, we thank you for their calling to serve us. We pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe and healthy, help them to be knowledgeable, help them to stay clear-minded in all of the surrounding craziness there, Lord. Father, we ask that you deliver them from anxiety for their own loved ones, give them compassion for every patient, provide for them financially, help Christians in healthcare to exhibit extraordinary peace so that many would ask about the reason for their hope and give them opportunities to proclaim the gospel. God, Father God, we trust that you are good and do good. Teach us to be your faithful people in this time of global crisis. Help us to follow in the footsteps of our faithful shepherd, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the sake of love. Glorify his name as you equip us with everything needed to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that was just, listen, just take the time. If you have to get out, pray. Take the time to pray at home. Get on FaceTime. Get on Zoom. Do a Facebook Live and just spend time praying with your friends and staying in touch. There's a lot of things we can be doing here. Okay? I wanted to share this story. Then we hit the break. Then we're going to come back, and I'm going to share some good news stories, some things that are going to be helpful for a lot of people, some job opportunities, some other things, some online entertainment, some huge news about I Still Believe, which is the movie that just literally came out a week ago from my buddies John and Andy Irwin, and then we run into this crisis. That's heartbreaking, but they're doing something really awesome next week, so I want to share that with you. But here's this. I saw this, So J.P. Morgan, I've been talking about this, what's going to happen with the gross domestic product. J.P. Morgan was thinking the first quarter down 4, second quarter down 14, third quarter up 8, fourth quarter up 4. Okay, Goldman Sachs comes out today, and they're way worse. They're saying first quarter gross domestic product down 6%, second quarter down 24%. That's a shocking number, as if being down 14% weren't enough. And these are just projections and educated guesses, okay, so don't take them to the bank just yet. But third quarter up 12% and the fourth quarter up 10%. So by the end of the year, making up a lot of it. So over the course of the year, Goldman Sachs would say, well, actually, we'll be down about 8%. J.P. Morgan says we'd be end up the year down about 1.5% in terms of gross domestic product. And then I saw this. Now, this is where we have to be paying attention to what the government is doing. A lot of things the government is doing, I appreciate. I think they have to do it. They're painted into a corner in many ways. So, okay. But then I saw this. Kudlow, Larry Kudlow, floats U.S. government equity stakes in companies helped. I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Sounding a little bit like 2008 and the government taking a majority share in GM, and we're talking about socialism. We've got a lot of young people in this country that are having this flirting relationship with socialism. The White House top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said the administration may consider asking for an equity stake in corporations that want coronavirus aid from taxpayers. One of the ideas is, he said, if we provide assistance, we might take an equity position. So any company they provide assistance to, they want an equity position, the federal government taking part ownership in industry. You've got one significant step into the pool of socialism when that happens. And it's next door, neighbor, communism. A couple more things on that, then some good news. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Good to be with you. Just kind of talking through. This was kind of an economic governmental thing, and this is some folks on Facebook Live if you want to join us here in the studio. And we kind of have a sidebar conversation, as and most of you, and I appreciate you being on the radio and our radio partners. That's a huge blessing. Most of you listen to the show on the radio, but we do have a consistent audience and a growing audience on Facebook Live, and then they can listen to it live right now, which most of us don't live in the live, quote-unquote, entertainment educational world anymore. We're kind of in the at-demand world. So you listen to a podcast, you watch it later, you listen to it later, you listen to it on your time, whatever. But with Facebook Live, we actually can have a kind of a sidebar conversation. So we continue to talk about different things when we're on the commercial break. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just go to your Facebook feed. There's a good chance you're looking at it already, truth be told. And just go to the Steve Noble Show. Make sure you please like the show while you're there, because I post articles and some commentary here and there. I don't overdo it. But we do Facebook Live pretty much every day. So we're here in the studio. So that's an extra 13, 14 minutes of conversation that we have together every day on Facebook Live that you don't have on the radio. On the radio, you get just the regular radio segments, which is the bread and butter. That's the meat of what we're talking about. But we do have some extra sidebar conversations. But that's only happening on Facebook. So please join us there at the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook. So I was reading from this article, Kudlow floats U.S. government equity stakes and companies help. Donald Trump's kind of talked about this stuff before. Hey, with nations. Hey, if we're going to bail you out, then show me the money. Okay? In this case, we're talking about governmental ownership, part ownership in businesses. So Larry Kudlow is talking about may consider asking for an equity stake in corporations that want coronavirus aid from taxpayers. One of the ideas, he said, is if we provide assistance, we might take an equity position. And then he cautioned that the idea was just one of many and that the ultimate form of the coronavirus stimulus legislation would depend on what emerged from negotiations with Congress. This thing is one day at a time, he said. We'll do whatever it takes. So here's what the deal. Here's what this would look like. All the industries that they bail out. So let's say they're bailing out Boeing. Even if you look at like American Airlines, I just saw this story earlier. American Airlines is grounding 55,000 flights in April and is parking 450 planes. So American Airlines is going to be fighting for its financial survival. So Larry Kudlow comes in and says, okay, so if we bail out American Airlines, we might want an equity position. So we're going to pump some money into you that we're borrowing ourselves, 40 cents on the dollar. We're going to pump some money into you, and then we want an equity position. We want stock. And then as your company rebounds and American Airlines comes back and the stock value goes up, then we'll eventually sell it, and we'll actually make some money on the deal. So the federal government acting like an investor And I know on the financial side and from a return on investment side and just from a, hey, if I'm going to help you quid pro quo side, that sounds good. But this does take you down the road of the government becoming a part owner in businesses. And when the government starts to take ownership in the means of production, you're walking down the road to socialism. You go, oh, yeah, Steve, that's over the top. You can say that all you want, but you have to study the death of federalism in this country to see what's happening and to see how powerful the federal government is right now and can alter our way of life literally overnight. And most people just, because there's a crisis that's real, and we just, okay, makes sense. All right, we got to do that. Okay, fine. I trust you. Everything will be fine. But Larry Kudlow talking about this, hey, we want an equity position. What if they don't give up their equity position? Do you really want members of the federal government having being a majority shareholder or a significant shareholder in a publicly traded company, and then the government's now involved in that business? Really? The government can't run the post office. The government can't run Amtrak. The government pretty much can't run anything effectively. And you want them to be part owner in businesses? Now that gets you down the road to socialism, where the government's now owning the means of production. So this is an about face for Larry Kudlow. Kudlow himself was among the critics of government intervention. This is a Bloomberg article more than a decade back. In 2009, he called the Obama administration's rescue of GM an attack on free market capitalism. No kidding. Call it bailout nation or ownership nation, he said. It's an unprecedented degree of government command, control, and planning, all in the name of tough economic downturn, Kudlow wrote on a CNBC website. Another guy, Kevin Karen, portfolio manager for Washington Crossing, said this is a very big slippery slope because the ownership of private capital by government is not traditionally consistent with capitalism. You think? Wow. So, be vigilant. What's the price of freedom? Eternal vigilance. So we need to be vigilant. Pay attention to these things. Okay, I'm going to put aside kind of the bad news bears stuff. And let me share some actual good news stuff. Right? Amazing. It's actually some good thing. This is cool. Check this out. Steve Mnuchin tweeting earlier today. 10:04 a.m. Eastern Time. At Donald Trump's direction, we are moving tax day from April 15th to July 15th. All taxpayers and businesses will have this additional time to file and make payments without interest or penalties. So if you were freaking out about April 15th, don't worry about it. Now it's July 15th. Before they were saying you should file by April 15th, but if you owe, you can take up to 90 days to pay it, no interest, no fees. Now they're pushing all that back to July 15th. You don't even have to file your taxes until July 15th. So that's good. Take some pressure off. First things first, I guess. So for most people, that's probably a little bit of an amen. This is cool. Two huge employers, Walmart, going on a massive hiring spree and giving special bonuses to hourly workers during coronavirus outbreak. And Amazon, by the way, is hiring 100,000 people because they've got an obvious surge in business. So if you're out of work and you're willing to go out, Amazon's now hiring 100,000 people. And they pay pretty good, $13, $14, $15 an hour. And they're hiring because of the surge in their business. And that's people working at distribution centers like here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have a new one down in Garner. I think it's operational. So check into that. If you need a job, what a great opportunity to get a great job and be busy and have an income. So that's cool. Amazon doing that. And then Walmart is part of the responding to the current environment. Walmart is also hiring 150,000 new associates through the end of May to work in stores, clubs, distribution centers, and fulfillment centers. These roles will be temporary at first, but many will convert to permanent roles over time. Walmart also announced a special bonus for those who are currently working. I love watching. This is one of the great things about America and American companies. When everything starts to hit the fan, the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is largely buried for a lot of people, still shows up. The image of God can still show up. When it gets really bad, you start going, okay, all right, let's take care of each other. We'll get through this together. Where do you think that comes from? That's a Judeo-Christian ethic. It's still in there in the makeup of the country. Quote, this bonus is for all U.S. hourly associates in stores, clubs, supply chains, and offices. The bonus will be $300 for a full-time hourly associate and $150 for part-time hourly associates and will add up to more than $365 million, the statement from Walmart said. Every hourly associate and employee employed by the company as of March 1st will qualify, and it will pay it out on April 2nd. So that's cool to see that. Trump announces coronavirus-related suspension of federal student loan payments, standardized testing. So no student payments, no student loan payments for at least 60 days, and then no standardized test requirements for elementary and high school students. So they're setting that out of the way, okay? Kratos on Facebook Live said maybe Walmart will keep toilet paper on the shelves then. We can only hope. It's crazy. McConnell says stimulus checks will go out to most Americans as senators eye a higher amount. So this is going to start happening. We'll probably start seeing some checks within 2 weeks. And they're talking, you know, is it going to be, they're going to, no way is it going to be for the ultra rich, whatever you call that. I mean, 250 grand a year or more. If you make 250 grand a year and you're in trouble right now because you have a few weeks off, you need to really work on your budgeting and stuff. That's troublesome. One source told Fox Business Network that the amount would start to reduce for those making 75 grand and above, and the checks would be limited to those who make 99 grand or less. But that's just the rumor mill, okay? You don't know yet. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Thursday morning told Fox Business Network that the White House is looking at payments of $1,000 to most American adults within 3 weeks and an additional $500 for children. A family of four would receive as much as $3,000. Mnuchin also said that if the crisis were still ongoing in 6 weeks, the federal government would deliver another round of checks worth the same amount of money. Because they know this is how this works. This is basically trickle down. Is we got to give you some money. We know what you're going to do with the money. You're going to put the money back into the economy. And that kind of keeps the engine running. So that's good, right? Those are good things. How are we going to deal with that economically in the future? Good question. $23.5 trillion and counting. We'll be at $25 trillion plus by the end of the year. So just remember, these are good things. These are helpful things. We can praise the Lord for these things, but we are using our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren's credit cards to do it. So let's not forget that. Because this is just getting compounding and getting worse every year, which, by the way, should be another good reminder as to why we should be praying for those in authority over us. Because they obviously need it. So there's one other thing here. So my buddies John and Andy Irwin, great filmmakers. So I Still Believe, which is the true story of Jeremy Camp's first marriage in college, and his wife died shortly after they got married of cancer. He knew she had cancer when they died. Incredible story and a great love story. And I Still Believe was released about a week and a half ago. And then whammo, the whole film industry gets shut down. This is a new venture that John and Andy are doing. It's called Kingdom. And they're doing it with Lionsgate, so now all the stakes are going up, and all of a sudden, the entire movie industry gets shut down. So they're doing something next week, which is totally awesome. You're going to start seeing this with some other movies, too, but I'm going to share that with you. This is an opportunity for you to see it without going to a movie theater. Really excited about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, live and in person here in the studio. By myself today, not because of the coronavirus. My intern and my production assistant, Evan, will be back in on Monday. So I'm just in here by myself today, which feels, I've done radio by myself a lot over the years. So that's not a big freaky thing to me. And the social distancing is not difficult for me. Most people want to stay away from me anyway. And so, it's not hard. Plus, I come in here and hide out from the world in my studio several hours a day doing prep and then doing the radio show. So far, not a big deal for me personally. But I know it's a big deal for a lot of people, and it is a big deal for the nation. And we can sit around. I just want to caution everybody again. We can sit around and play armchair quarterback, but this is all unfolding as it's unfolding. It's all happening in real time. You've got a massive amount of political pressure because if Trump doesn't jump on it and take, to a certain extent, draconian measures, if it were to spiral out of control and they weren't able to tamp down on the spread of the coronavirus, and you get 50 million people with it, and you even if you have a death rate down of like 1.5%, which they're saying it might be the mortality rate overall, you get 50 million people with it, and 1.5%, 75,000 people dead on your watch. In the course of a couple of months. And we haven't seen something like that in a while. So you've got all this political pressure. We have not gotten great information out of China. If you're thinking this is all some big collusion, you'd have to get about 130 countries to collude together, which is ridiculous. So let's all just keep our powder dry. Let's not shoot first and ask questions second. Let's be prayerful. Let's be agents of peace. Let's be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and take advantage of this time to sow into our relationship with Christ, deepen our relationship as a family, with our neighbors and friends. Let's take the time and enjoy this slowdown. That's a great thing, that we're actually at home. Go for a walk. Play a board game. Remember those? Board game. You know, you take the top off. You unpack it. There's, you know, like Monopoly, Stratego, stuff like that. Play a board game. If you're comfortable, have some friends over. It's really, there's a lot of silver lining to this. Besides the actual human toll, which is serious, the financial toll, which is massive, the societal toll, which also is serious, but let's not lose our minds and start to just watch your social media presence. I have to do that as well, and let's be careful. Okay, so I've been talking about I Still Believe, the movie about Jeremy Camp's first marriage with Melissa when they were in college, ended tragically because she had cancer. He married her knowing she had cancer. And it's just an amazing story. And that's when he wrote the song, I Still Believe, not that long after she went to be with the Lord. And so my friends, John and Andy Irwin, made that into a movie. And with their last movie, I Can Only Imagine, which was the story behind the song, that was a huge hit, did about $90 million at the box office, one of the biggest Christian movies of all time. And then they sprung that. God just blessed that. And they turned it into Kingdom Studios, which was a joint venture with Lionsgate, which is one of the major studios out in L.A. So this is their first big launch with Lionsgate. And wham, the coronavirus. And wham, the door shuts on the movie industry, which is just heartbreaking. My heart breaks for them. And but in response to this, and some movie houses out in L.A. are starting to do this. Then I saw this and saw this online and wanted to let you know about it because this will happen next week. Lionsgate to release I Still Believe online amid coronavirus pandemic. The Hollywood studio and Kingdom Story Company will release the KJ Apa and Britt Robertson starring faith-based drama on March 27th on premium video on demand. So that's a week from today. So next Friday, you'll be able to watch I Still Believe. As the coronavirus pandemic shutters traditional theaters for social distancing, this is from The Hollywood Reporter, Lionsgate and Kingdom Story Company are set to release I Still Believe. With theaters closed nationwide due to these unprecedented events, we want to continue to make I Still Believe available to consumers. This is a statement from Lionsgate. The theatrical experience is core to our business, and exhibitors are our integral partners and allies. We're enormously proud of the movie that the Irwin brothers created and are grateful to be able to share it with the audiences for their home viewing pleasure. That was Joe Drake, who's the chairman of Lionsgate. This is what the Irwin brothers said, John and Andy. As filmmakers, we are heartbroken that we can't share I Still Believe on a big screen the way we intended. We make movies because we love movies, and we stand firmly behind the nation's theater chains, from the largest circuits to the smallest mom-and-pop indies that have been so dramatically affected by these unprecedented closures. They added, but the safety of guests comes first, and we're proud to have the opportunity to share online a movie whose inspiring message of love, hope, and faith is perfect for these uncertain times. If you've seen it, you know how good it is. If you haven't, you've definitely heard me talking about it. You've probably heard the buzz for a couple months now. So that'll be available video on demand, like, you know, that's Amazon, things like that, Apple TV, starting a week from today. So that's great. So you can still see I Believe, and you can see it in your own home. And when you see a price or whatever, it's like $19 to buy the movie. Don't complain about that. Just, okay, because if you were to go, if you and your spouse were to go, well, that's $20 plus popcorn and drinks and candy. Now you're up to what, $250? Dollars. It's crazy. But that's awesome. And they're starting to do that. Some other movie houses are starting to do that. Going early on demand. Movies that were literally just in the movie theater are starting to, they're putting them video on demand. They'd rather make some money than no money. And hopefully there's a bit of an altruism behind that. Hopefully. But with I Still Believe, that's an awesome opportunity. So that'll open nationwide at home a week from today. So that's pretty cool. And a reminder, next Friday night, I'm going to get this technology squared away, but I think we're going to be able to do this. We were going to do here in Raleigh a week from tonight. We were going to do a little mini marriage conference with Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Baptist, who was on the show with me yesterday. And we were doing kind of the theology of fear and uncertainty. And he's really does a great little mini conference. It's like six sessions. He does a great one that my wife and I have been to. He's very funny. He's obviously a fantastic, really gifted teacher. And we were going to do that a week from tonight at a great local church here, Southbridge Fellowship. Scott Lair is the senior pastor. It's a great church. And we were excited about that. And our buddy Christopher Prieto, who was on the show not that long ago, who's got a great testimony, the best barbecue I've ever put in my mouth, especially a barbecue brisket. It's just incredible. They were going to cater it, so we were going to do a little dinner thing. And, you know, we were looking at 150, 200 couples, maybe something like that. So it's going to be an awesome night. And then kaboom, coronavirus. So Danny said, I thought, well, I wonder if we could do this, like somehow stream it online. And Danny said, actually, one time I did this for a small crowd and we professionally produced it on video. And I thought, well, can I play the video through Facebook Live? Because it's Danny's video. He owns it. So, yeah, we've been figuring that out. So a week from today, next Friday, also the same time I still believe. So take your pick. But next Friday, a week from today, probably at 7 p.m. Eastern time, I'll do a Facebook Live. And we're able to just go right. And so we're going to do just like we were going to do it originally. We were going to do three sessions on Friday night and three sessions on Saturday morning, about an hour and a half each. Not each session. Hour and a half total. So next Friday night. Maybe that would be a good thing for you, a blessing for you and your spouse, because you're spending more time together now than maybe you're used to. A great little marriage tune-up. So I'll do a Facebook Live, and I'll do an introductory prayer and welcome everybody. We'll pray whatever's going on with the coronavirus situation at the time. We'll pray together, and then I'm just going to go right through these three sessions. They're great. He's a great teacher. He's very funny. So we're going to do that Friday night next week. That's totally free. Great blessing. Great teaching from Dr. Danny Akin. And then Saturday morning, I'll crank it up again and do that Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And I'll play the other three sessions with Dr. Danny Akin and his teaching. Mostly it's about marriage. The last session's about raising a godly family. So I'm excited to do that. There was, and I'll put out a bunch of stuff about it next week, so don't worry, I'll remind you. I saw this article. We'll finish with this. Americans must relearn to sacrifice in the time of coronavirus. This is written by Joseph Steeb at the Washington Post. He had some political things in here. I'm like, I can leave that out. You don't need to take shots. But he's talking about that. Do we have to learn how to re-sacrifice? Another factor is at play, he writes. For the past three quarters of a century, Americans have largely not been asked to sacrifice across the board for the good of the country. They've been told they can fulfill their responsibilities as citizens by being good consumers, buying stuff to keep the economy humming was all it took to be a good American. This makes the sacrifices now being requested feel alien, causing many Americans to bristle. In the 1930s and 40s, under the influence of Keynesian economics, consumption was reconceived as a patriotic duty that would fuel a recovery from the Depression and to sustain the post-war boom. Shortly after the war, the New Deal economist Robert Nathan wrote, "Only if we have large demands can we expect large production. Therefore, ever-increasing consumption on the part of our people is one of the primary requisites for prosperity." Technology grew more sophisticated. You took that into politics. The rise of the mall and other privatized shopping centers, he writes in this article, in the place of old downtown centers in the 70s and 80s, and then the rise of internet shopping replacing the mall in the 2000s, removed crucial sites of public interaction, let alone discourse. Following these economic and cultural shifts, the relationship between voter and elected official transitioned into a contract in which the government's legitimacy was based on its ability to provide for an ever-expanding standard of consumption. By the late 1970s, historian Elizabeth Cohen argues the idea of an elected official calling for sacrifice for a common cause became harder to conceive. It's so true and so sad. The political trend coincided with the rise of the all-volunteer military after the debacle in Vietnam, which meant that an even tinier slice of the population was asked to sacrifice for the common good by serving. While these rituals and symbols, he writes, soothe our conscience, they have left most of us content to go about life expecting others to sacrifice to keep us safe. What a great point, and sad. Today, he writes, too many Americans think consumerism is their civic responsibility and they expect the government to preserve the rhythms and conveniences of everyday life at all costs. We still have robust levels of volunteerism at local levels as exhibited repeatedly since the coronavirus began through donations and other acts of kindness. However, our diminished capacity for involuntarism and real sacrifice is highly problematic. It's hard to draw lessons from an ongoing event, but here's a tentative takeaway from this crisis. It is as much a political event as a biological disaster. The leaders' ideas and histories of different nations matter in shaping how they respond. The fact that most of the country is experiencing the same problem at the same time could inspire a shift away from hyper-individualism and consumer citizenship, but this will not happen automatically. What a great point! We have to relearn sacrifice, and for us as Christians, that should be the norm. So let's make sure we're looking for ways to do just that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say,